Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Why Not.
I thought you were going to go with Winona.
No. Far too large a city for our purposes here.
Well, you know what? Why not?
Exactly.
Might as well.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
There's a Why Not Mississippi, huh?
It's in Lauderdale County.
All right.
Your mail goes to Meridian, though, is what I just read. So.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, Meridian has the buffet Pizza Hut still. So like
Pizza Inn.
No. Meridian has the Pizza Hut.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. This guy was telling us.
Yeah. So why not? Why not Meridian?
There you go. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I will be cooking out beef this weekend. Our guy, Greg, at LB's Meats in Oxford, does indeed have a tri-tip waiting on me. I'm going to head up there and pick that up today, bring that home with me. And Saturday, Robbie, would you like to come over and enjoy some tri-tip? You're welcome to do so.
I think I could arrange that.
Yes. All right. Now we're talking.
Why not?
It's the theme of today's show. We've got a theme. All right. I like it. Whatever you're doing this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. We are just days away from the start of the football season here at Mississippi State. You need new gear. You need to get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Florida by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Guys, getting into football season, you know you're going to be here on the weekends. A Friday night dinner at Restaurant Tyler or a post-game meal there is going to hit like no other. Best steaks in town, great pasta, great chicken dishes, vegetarian options, and to cap it off, the best dessert in the city of Starkville, in the Golden Triangle, the stuffed pancake. We love it, and you will too. Make sure you've got your reservations made at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever. When you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need a bank that provides a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's a special day here on Thunder and Lightning. We're going to talk about special teams.
Yes.
We love the special teams. Although, so Kyle Ferry and I don't know. I don't know if we've got beef or not.
I think you do. Yes.
We might have it.
So. I think you have beef.
The problem is that beef is going to have to remain because I very rarely get the chance to talk to Kyle Ferry. You know, I don't know
if Kyle understood.
He did not.
Situation there.
He did not. He absolutely did not.
No, like, Kyle's awesome. I love Kyle. He's going to end up being probably the best statistical kicker Mississippi State's ever had.
Yeah.
But you can't put him in the same category as Dak.
I put Kyle Ferry on a list with Johnny Cooks, Dak Prescott, D.D. Lewis, and J.J. Johnson.
That was a big enough accomplishment. But like he's not going to be upper echelon.
He was not listening. He didn't take. We talk about it all the time with nuance and context. You got to get all the information. I just said that, you know, hey, Kyle Ferry is not at that level. I don't feel like I'm throwing a slight there by saying you're not
weird.
At the same level as four of the greatest players in this school's university's history. I'm sorry,
and arguably the in the state of Mississippi. I mean, you're talking about Johnny Cooks, who
Yeah.
was a top five draft pick, Dak Prescott, who's one of the most iconic quarterbacks ever in
Yeah.
Mississippi.
J.J. Johnson, Connerly
J.J.
Award
Johnson,
winner,
I
all
mean,
SEC. Dede Lewis, 20-year pro career.
you're just going to have to explain the context at some
Yeah.
point to him. But Kyle, we are fans of you.
I
We're
like
not.
Kyle. Good kicker.
Actually, you know what? I had nothing to do with this,
Yeah,
so why am I even
you're not the
apologizing?
problem. It's all with me. Yeah, but I'm not
Please
going to
be angry at
apologize either.
Brian,
I'm not
Kyle.
going to
Please be angry.
apologize.
Be
So,
angry. I want another Farrod Green situation here.
Farad and I, we got back together. We bonded. We salved over those wounds.
Did you see the Brandon Walker again had another former Starkville High School player coming after him
And former Ole Miss player.
today, and former Ole Miss player and AJ Brown.
Got a little more juice with AJ Brown. So, well,
AJ legitimately just didn't know who he was.
which is who cares? Like I that's not surprising by that. You know what's funny about that is I would be willing to bet that Brandon covered some of AJ's high school games. He was here in 2014.
I'm trying to think if he was covering like a ton of Starkville High.
With the
I can't
dispatch, he
remember.
had to have covered at least one Starkville West
He
Point,
might have. He might
Starkville
have.
Columbus game. He had to have.
Yeah, I can't
So,
remember.
yeah, that's just funny.
My gosh, that was 10 years ago, over 10
Really?
years ago.
Yeah, it really was.
Kind of hard to believe.
All right, let's talk special teams. And we start with Kyle Ferry. And I mean, you're talking about one of the better kickers in the SEC, pretty consistent. From 45 in, I feel when he comes out on the field from 45 in, I feel good about it. I think he's done a great job. He's gotten better both years that he's been here. And in this offense, he should have a lot of opportunities. There's no reason to think Kyle Ferry isn't a plus player for Mississippi State.
It's huge to have him back. To have a kicker that's been your starting kicker essentially for the last 2 years, not even essentially, I mean, he has been. That's huge. And it's not that you just get a body back. Like, he's actually been really good. Statistically, he is on pace to be the greatest kicker in Mississippi State history. If you look at the stats, the made field goals, the percentages, he's going to be top three, top five in every single category. So I don't think that you can discount in any way what he brings to the table for you. Obviously, Jeff Lebby is kind of not as extreme as Lane Kiffin, but kind of in that same
Likes to go
vein.
for it.
He likes to go for it. He doesn't like the kicker punt, but still, you have an option there if you do. And we've seen how vital a really good kicker can be for teams because. If you got a guy that can automatically hit 45 yards in, which I feel pretty confident about with Kyle Ferry, then that's a huge difference for your team. So I like the fact they're bringing him back. I don't know what his role is beyond place kicking. Is he going to be kicking off? I don't know what the kickoff situation is
Yeah.
this year. It was Nick Barmira last year, but you got to give Kyle Ferry a ton of credit as a true freshman. Just stepped into that role. It was supposed to be Nick Barmira taking over that place kicking position. He got hurt in training camp, and it was Kyle Ferry's job the rest of the way. I mean, he has not let go of that position since. And it's extremely hard to come into the SEC and on this level in year one and game one do what Kyle Ferry did, who was the special teams, I think special teams player of the week or freshman of the week in the SEC. In week one in 2023. So that was really impressive. He's handled himself really well. That's a position where you can kind of lose it if you're a kicker. If you have one bad miss or something like that, it can really like spiral for you.
Yeah.
That hasn't really happened for him. And it's likelier that it's not going to happen the further along he goes now, with the more and more experience and handling adversity, things like that. I think he's a guy that is certainly a critical piece for Mississippi State this year to have him back for year three as a starting place kicker.
When I'm looking at the kickers in the conference last year, in terms of field goals attempted, Ferry is very close to the bottom. Missouri leading kicker in the conference in terms of attempts was Blake Craigie at 34. Caden Davis at Ole Miss had 29. Ramos at LSU, 29. Tennessee attempted a total of 26 field goals. Texas attempted a total of, it appears, 25 field goals. Everybody's in the 20s, and then you have Kyle Ferry, who's 10 for 12. So it goes back to what you said. They just didn't kick a lot of field goals. The only one I can see that had less as a program had less attempts than Mississippi State is Alabama. They were 8 of 10 from field goal range last year. So, I think in this offense, the field goal opportunities are going to be less for him. You hope that he has more extra point opportunities this year. He was 38 of 39 a season ago. You'd like to see him maybe have another 10 extra point opportunities. But man, if you're making, if you're only missing one extra point nowadays, that's pretty good. I almost come to a point where I expect an extra point to get missed this year in a year by everybody. It's rare when somebody goes 100%. From extra point range, but 83% as a kicker last year would have been, or I'm sorry, was good for fifth in the conference overall. Just really solid, really good player. And then from a punting perspective, this is a guy you're super high on, is Ethan Pulliam, who, by the way, if we're gonna like just dump on Lamona some more. I thought he was really good his freshman year in baseball, and then just couldn't get back on the field for whatever reason. When he hit like over 300 as a true freshman, and they threw him in there, he was a pretty good fielder at second base. And I like Gatlin Sanders, but I never understood why Ethan Pulliam couldn't get back out there on the field. But
Well,
now that,
just like get a shot. Like
yeah,
he, they
it just
didn't
didn't
even
make any
really
sense.
try him.
But then from a punting perspective, you've seen this kid since he was in high school. I remember you telling me when he was in high school that the best punter in the city of Starkville was Ethan Pulliam, that he could have come over and played and contributed at Mississippi State as a high school player. Now that he's fully focused on football, you think this is an NFL caliber leg that he has?
Oh, no doubt. I think the power that he possesses is next level for sure. And I asked Cliff Odom about that, and we'll hear from him. You can hear his thoughts on it, but he kind of echoed it. He believes that the talent is through the roof with him. So it's really all about the little intricacies with punting. It doesn't have to always be a 50-yard punt. You got to have the coffin corner every now and then. Logan Cook has kind of made a big time living out of being an all around punter in the NFL. And that's who you're aspiring to be, I think, if you're Ethan Pulliam. Logan Cook is, if not the highest paid punter in the NFL, right at the top, because he kind of does it all. He's a guy that can down it inside the 10. He's a guy that can boot it 70 yards. That's who he's become. And those are the things that Ethan Pulliam's going to get better and better at. Extremely intellectual kid, very smart, very instinctual, natural. He joined the Starkville football team either sophomore or junior year. I can't 100% remember, but he was basically a soccer and a baseball player. And Chris Jones identified him. He got him out there on the field. He did like a punt pass kick thing or something. They saw the dude could just absolutely boom it. And he came out there. It was like immediately he just took to it like a fish to water. Like he was in his element. And he was there the entire year. I don't think they win. I can make a case for this. I don't think they win the state championship his senior year without him. Because he, and I'll take you to a specific instance, against Tupelo, he changed the game completely. He flipped the field on a possession in the fourth quarter that got Tupelo backed inside their own 5-yard line. They turned the ball over a play or two after that. Starkville scored, and the game just flipped on its head. And that's the kind of weapon you have with Ethan Pulliam. If he can harness everything and put it all into play this year, I think that he has a chance to be really special. I really do. I've watched this kid for a long time. I believe that he has all the tools to be a guy that's playing on the next level. We'll see if he's able to translate that to the SEC. And punting is a lot like kicking in ways, like it can get in your head. We've seen that with MSU punters where they can't get it out of their head. And Logan Cook was very good at putting, those kind of things behind him. He didn't really think about the last punt. Punting's a very interesting skill, and I think Ethan Pulliam has all the talent to come out there and help Mississippi State right away this year.
Be very interesting to see because this is sort of those guys. It's weird that a punter has sort of stayed in my brain, but I remember your comments about this kid in high school, and I've been looking forward to seeing him out there on the field. So I'm excited to see what he brings Mississippi State. And you mentioned Logan Cook. You know, State has not had that consistency at punter that they want to have since Logan Cook left. You know, they've had some guys that have been okay, some guys have been, but they haven't had that guy you just trust to get the ball out of there and give the other team bad field position, weak possession in, possession out. Like since then, so I'm looking forward to Pulliam. As always, I always feel like when we talk about the return game, we always like, man, they got a lot of options back there, and they go with the one that never makes any sense. Like I like last year with some of the options on the return game, I was just like, just find the fastest guy and give him the ball. Now that would be Brennan Thompson. I don't know about necessarily about him, but I think that the guy that I have my eye on here, who I don't know if he'll be a part of it or not, is Xavier Gayton. I really think that this is a guy who's not going to get a lot of touches in the running game, right? Because he's behind Booth and Bothwell and Daniels. But you're not going to redshirt him. So this is a spot where I think he could contribute. I think Anthony Evans could be a contributor at this position as well. You know, the return game isn't what it used to be in college football. Everybody tries to kick touchbacks. Nobody's really returning punts the way you used to. But it doesn't hurt to have a game breaker back there. Both of those guys, I think, can play big roles for State. We'll hear a little bit more from Cliff Odom, as you mentioned, in a minute. But I hope this is a spot where you try to find some touches for guys who aren't otherwise getting them.
Yeah, that's kind of been my philosophy on it over the years is like there's some guys that might be in a log jam somewhere that could really help you at punt or kick return. Last year Kevin Coleman was returning punts. I thought he did a really good job.
He was good, but why?
Yeah, I mean there really was no reason to have him as
He
those
got
take have him take a sip.
80 touches as a receiver. Why did he need those?
Well, it's just you're trying to find
Yeah.
You're trying to find more hidden yardage. You know, those are things that you don't account for
Love some hidden yardage.
whenever you're talking about,
Yeah.
you know, the game coming in. You talk about, well, if we have 450, 500 yards of total offense, that's going to be good for us. Well, what if you pick up, you know, a 40-yard punt return? You know, like we don't really talk about those yards every now and then, but I kind of look at it like punt. I kind of lean towards wide receivers
Yeah.
because you're looking for it's like some quick twitch, trying to make people miss in a,
Twitch?
that's
Want some
right.
twitch? Okay.
Trying to make people miss, you know, in a tight window type. And I think those guys are the ones that are more capable of doing that. Anthony Evans and Brennan Thompson make a ton of sense there. At kick return, I still think Devon Booth's going to factor into that. And
I
I
don't like
think,
that. I don't like that. Let's be honest with you.
well, you know, I mean, some coaches, their philosophy is getting the best athletes, the best players on the field.
I get that, but at the
And
same time, the guy's gonna—he's gonna carry the ball plenty. Like you got to give him a
he
couple
is, but
balls.
it's more than that. It's about having the guy that's going to make the right decision and that's going to protect the football. And I think that's just a safe pick. But Colin Wilson has been. I watched him the other day. He was taking some reps.
Now you're in my wheelhouse. Now we're
That
talking about it.
wouldn't surprise me at all if he was the guy that got into the mix, and he's been really impressive. It's just going to be really hard for him to get running back reps. So,
Right.
do you want to just go ahead and start getting him those reps now because you're about to lose Johnny Daniels and Devon Booth moving in the next year, and it's going to be a wide open competition. So you want a little bit of experience. It wouldn't hurt to go ahead and get him out there and have him get a taste of it. But I'm kind of like you. I would like to see more Xavier Gayton in those situations because I just think it's going to be very difficult for him to see the field on offense. And it'd be a shame to waste, you know, his talent.
Yeah, and I like I said, when you're not going to redshirt him, you got to find some ways for him to get the ball. The return game just makes a lot of sense. So,
Unless they plan on redshirting him.
well,
So
I don't know. In this day and age, man, what's the point of redshirting somebody if he doesn't? They'll just transfer. I think you
It
gotta.
just depends on if he has said, hey, because some guys say, I need to redshirt. And maybe he's saying, I need, like, let's let the dust clear. I intend on being here. I intend on going through this process. There's not many guys that do that anymore, but
Yeah, it's
maybe
rare.
he has.
We'll see. All right, let's hear from the coach. Coach Cliff Odom, Mississippi State special teams coordinator, talked to us last week at the availability, and here's what he had to say.
Coach, you're number two. I mean, you've had a chance to kind of work with most of your guys now for a full year. What are your kind of impressions heading into camp of your unit?
I'm as excited as I've ever been going into a fall camp just because of what they've done this summer and the work that they've put in, whether it be the specialists or really the guys who cover the other positions on all of our special teams unit. We're bigger, stronger, faster, and they've worked their butts off this summer to allow us to go out and make fall camp.
See, y'all have this golf competition, I think, that y'all have as a group. I mean, how close is this group, and what's it like, getting to know those guys and coming together and things like that y'all do?
It's been really, really fun. So we have, after spring, the Mob Masters. We call our special teams unit the Mob, and then the Mob Open going into the fall camp. It's just fun, a different way to connect. They all play way more golf than they should, and they're better than me, and I'm horrible. So it's a chance for them to see me in a bad light. But this group, the specialist group, is really close. We've added a few guys, and we have a couple guys who have been here. So they've done a really good job of meshing, and once again, the work that they put in, right, is where really the relationship has been solidified in that room. So I'm, like I said, I'm excited, and I'm not going to tell you my score. It was just really, really bad.
We've heard a lot about the depth of improved depth of this team. How does that just impact the special teams specifically?
Well, just if you look athletically size-wise, right? So now you're talking about guards and tackles on punt or on kick return. You're talking about gunners. You're talking about guys coming down on kickoff. It's not just having 11. We have 22. We have guys that we feel really, really good about who can go win when they're one-on-one in space, which essentially that's all special teams is.
You got some guys with speed and some guys that came in that have experience returning at other places. Who's kind of some of your guys in the mix at punt and kickoff return, or is it going to wide open going into camp?
Punt return definitely is going to be wide open because we have Brennan and we have Ant who can go and they're dangerous with the ball in their hand. Von Booth, he's going to be hard to beat out because he's one of the best kick returners in the country. But then there's some young guys. We have Colin who's done a really good job in the punt return game. So it's going to be a lot of fun for that punt returner spot, but it's going to be a little hard to beat out Von Booth. He did a really good job. I was as equally as fired up as anybody else when we found out he came back.
How important, I don't know how important you would think it is, but like with guys like Colin and Xavier that have, they're in kind of a loaded room, the running back room. How important is it though to give them other roles just to keep them involved, especially this day and age, true freshmen a lot, if I don't play, I'm leaving, but
Correct.
how important is it to have those guys have other roles outside of running back?
It's extremely important. Like you take a guy like Xavier, I call him X, where he showed up and earned respect from his team. They saw what he did at running back, whether it be getting reps with the ones or twos, or whether it be on scout team. But like he really earned respect by running down and covering kicks on punt and kickoff. And so highlighting him in that space last season and letting that be a thing. So now I can just point to the next freshman. Hey, you want to be like the Stonka, the Cyrus, the X. And so now you can come in and no, did you come here to sign and go run down on kickoff? No, but you can have an immediate impact as a freshman playing on teams. And so that was solidified from a culture standpoint and highlighting those guys last year. So now the incoming freshmen, they know, one, they're hearing it from me, but more importantly, they're hearing it from the guys who have been here. It's like, no, it's a big deal for you to go have a role and go make an impact early on when you get here.
Last year when we were in here, I'd asked you about Ethan Pulliam, and
Yeah.
his status was kind of up in the air, but now it's not. What have you seen from him now that he's just made football the number one priority and 100% is locked in on that?
I could seriously just copy and paste what I said about him last season. I mean, his work ethic has been unbelievable. It's literally he flipped the switch and he is up here more than anybody else. He works his butt off. He is as hard of a working kid or player that I've been around, regardless of position, in my whole coaching career. So I'm excited for what he's done, and once again, it's allowed him to have an opportunity to go show what he can do when the live bullets start flying in fall camp.
From a talent perspective, what do you see?
the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he has a huge leg, and it's, for him, it's just about being a hair more consistent placing the ball. But as far as like distance and hang, what he's done this summer since he made the decision to go solely football, it's been phenomenal. I mean, he is literally has an NFL leg. It's just our job to now hone him in and be consistent with it.
Speaking of legs, if my memory serves me correct, Kyle missed one extra point and 3 field goals last year.
Yeah,
much more consistent. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting from him this year? What do you need him to do to maybe take the next step in his development?
Be himself. Be who he's been. Continue to take a work ethic that he did not like how he performed in the spring, and that really channeled into him getting charting more kicks this summer for him personally. And so that work ethic, and just apply it to fall camp and be who he's been. And I expect him to be a high 85% guy. And the thing that one thing about Kyle, when I say and talk about being himself, I learned from golf is that he wants to make that shot to go win. He's going to go be aggressive. He wants all eyes on him to go make the play, to go make the kick, to go win the game. That's who he's always been as long as I've known him. So he just has to be that.
We saw Stonko make some big plays on special teams last year. Do you see him kind of playing the same role again this year in special teams?
Absolutely, I do. I think that kind of flashed like, oh yeah, we should probably move him to safety because he was running down. He led the team in special teams tackles. He's going to be now – it kind of took a little bit of us learning each other a little bit for him to sit there and the light turn on for special teams. But once it did, now it's more of a leadership role. But he's going to be out on the edge in a position to make it very clear, go make a play, go win in space. So absolutely, I expect Stonto to have another great year on teams.
The top special teams player in the NFL played here at Mississippi State.
JT.
Is that somebody that you can point to and say, hey, look, you can make a great career for yourself by doing the things he's done on special teams?
100%. We put him, JT Gray, Logan Cook, we put those guys up in front of our team as much as we can. He was actually here for the spring game. I gave him a hoodie that the mob, we have a little logo, custom logo. I was like, JT, we don't know each other that well, but you are a legend in our special team units, man. And so we talk about him and just his impact where we show his defensive reps, but then we show what he's done in multiple years of being a Pro Bowler. And that's essentially where all these guys want to go. Like a guy who sat in this room, this is him doing it. So all you have to do is just go follow his path. And the cool thing about JT, he's not, as you guys know probably better than me, he doesn't say a lot of words, but his presence speaks very, very loud. And so he has spent time here with our guys, man. And so it's been really good for me to piggyback off of him and what he's done and point and said, if you want to sit there and get there, here's a different way to go do it.
Maybe the most genuinely likable, not that the other guys aren't, but like Odom just seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah, this
takes the guys golfing.
Yeah. And he's not good at it. So there you go.
You can tell he really enjoys
coaching.
Yeah, being with that group and getting to know them and seeing them grow.
Agreed. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother. Two great places to grab lunch or dinner in the city of Starkville. What are you in the mood for? Is it that smoked Southern soul food they have at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, or is it the fancy sandwiches available at the Older Brother? Either way, you've got a winner. So when you're thinking about lunch in Starkville, head to the Cotton District, head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Gotcha.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier or a new printer, new computers, new laptops, because not only are you getting that product that you want, you're getting the backup, the service that you need. These are temperamental machines. They will go bad on you. When that happens, you want to know that you're one phone call away from getting things fixed and back up and running. You get that with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, if you got to make a trip over to Maroon & Co., check out all of the new Mississippi State gear in there, everything you're looking for. They've got the logos you want. They've got that, what is that, that hat you're wearing there? Is that the interlocking MSU? I believe they have.
Yes, I've blurred the lines of professionalism today for a reason.
We're going to get to that in just a moment. If you're looking for new interlocking gear, the place to find it is Maroon & Co. And, of course, you can use our promo code.
There we go.
It was a work-related text. I was like, oh, God. Our promo code to save 15% off. Thunder15 saves 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear in the city of Starkville, the place to go is Maroon & Co. We are almost to the weekend. I'm just going to say something right here. Maybe a little off topic, but it's like 70 degrees outside today. When I went for my walk, it was nice. It was cool. That's a terrible sign.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not real.
I know. It's not good, though. It means there's a brutal heat wave coming. That being said, if you're going to be out in the yard, you want to get in and out quick, you need John Deere power behind you. So, what do? You head to see our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in South Hilo. Go buy yourself a brand new commercial mower, brand new compact tractor. Go get a gator if you need to get around your property quickly. It's all right there for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. If you are a gardener, if you are working out in the yard, if you got home repair projects, if you're just cooking out, whatever you're doing around the house, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has an item that you need to have. So go see them today. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Robbie Falk is indeed wearing the interlocking MSU hat. And if you're a gamer who's playing EA College Football 26, your players can wear MSU interlocking hats as well. That is available today. However, we just can't just make it easy, can we? We can't just be like, they've got it listed as the 2023 throwback helmet. It's always something.
I don't understand it. I really don't. But this is a win. This is a win. You now have it on the game. It's only going to make people, I can't say the word, but more in the mood for the interlocking. And here's my thing with it now is I'm looking – took a while for you there. My thing with it is, like, I'm looking at the uniform currently, and that made that uniform pop a little different.
It does. It looks better.
And I hate to go back on the things that we've said, because we really pushed for the stage script and thought that that looked so much better than the banner, and I still believe that it does. But this blows away anything else the Mississippi State has. That's the thing, is like, whenever you present this, it makes the logo that you and I wanted look secondary.
Yeah.
It's a very easy thing. It's like, there are no excuses that you can use to say why you can't use this logo on the helmet. If you want to say it takes too long for the jerseys, they can't get the 98 jerseys in, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. But this is an easy fix.
This is a sticker.
Yeah.
You just slap this sticker instead of the state script, and I don't even know if they've started putting those stickers on the helmet, still possible.
Yeah.
So my thought is, folks, keep hammering this. Keep hammering it. Until they actually do it or they tell you they can't do it, keep pushing this, because there's no reason state can't do this now.
Yeah.
And put the sticker on the helmets this year. And I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the mocks that people are making, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply putting this sticker on the helmet with the current jerseys works. I that's not something that I would want long term, but for this year, state's uniforms would look significantly better with this sticker on the helmet. And again, there are no we've heard a billion excuses about this logo over the last 20 years or whatever. There are no excuses you can use here. You have the stickers. We've seen them. Yeah. You made the mistake. The university made the mistake of saying, yeah, you can have them for a game. And I told people when that happened, that was going to be a bad idea.
You were adamant about that. You were like, if you do this, everybody's going to want it back. And
look at what we got.
Yeah.
And this is – it's only going to grow. It's only going to fester. And people are going to get more and more upset. And it's going to get to the point where it's just going to be everybody's just ticked.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's just like
– people saying the thing we've been saying, like, hold on, you tell us we have to pay you guys for tickets and players and coaches, and we got to give you all this money, and we can't have this?
Yeah. That's what I'm hammering. Like, you're slapping the fans in the face if you don't give them this. Yeah. And I think you made a point about this the other day on the live show about how most of the people in this fan base don't care.
They don't care.
They just don't care.
Right.
They don't care about the sticker. They didn't even know
the people who care.
There are more people that I talk to out there that didn't understand why I or other people were pushing against the banner than the ones that I talked to that were against it.
Yeah.
Like that's like, the average Mississippi State fan. They just don't know or care.
Right.
So they won't care about this. The people that are adamant one way or the other,
yeah,
it's going to be overwhelmingly interlocking people.
Yes.
There's not the only people that are pushing against it are the people that don't like us or that they don't like the message board posters, and they're just doing it just to be contrarians.
Right.
And so that group, I don't even listen to them. They're just being trolls, like you said.
Right.
So it's a slam dunk. It's an easy decision. We've got it on the video game now. People are buying it up. I've seen this logo the last 2 weeks, more in the last 2 weeks than I have the previous last year. Mm-hmm. People are starting to really push it. They want it back. Just give the people what they want, please. We got the LEDs done. That took a lot of
work,
angst. But this is a lot easier. This doesn't cost much money. It's not going to be that much effort, and it just makes you look like a cooler football team. There is no reason not to do it. There is no reason not to do it. Branding, and I don't want to hear any of that. The cost, put it on the helmet.
If you enjoyed that rant, Robbie Faulk has another one for you as well. I will cede the floor to you now. I don't go to practice, so this is not really for me.
I'm not going to be like super negative or anything, but it's kind of like the same stuff. Like you have a very cool logo here. That you have an opportunity to make your brand, there's the brand, your brand's going to be a lot cooler with this logo on your helmet.
Right.
And that's already been put to the test whenever you released a video and you put these jerseys out, and every national media member that commented on it said that's Mississippi State football. So that's an easy call. Another easy call, I think, is Jeff Lebby has got to market this team better.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to let this thing loose a little bit. We've seen some videos come out, and by the way, what Brady and those guys are doing with the videos is night and day.
Compared to last year, yeah.
John Sweeney, Lance, like those guys are doing an incredible job. They're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, very much appreciate the fact they're putting out this stuff because we don't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my problem here with the fact that these fans are having to screen grab a split second video to see a player making a play and highlight, like Frisco McGee and guys like that. Like they're having to pause it like at the split second to screen grab it so they can talk about that play. They had no context to the play. They're just like, hey, look at this catch. Why are we not pushing this team out a little bit more to try to create some excitement? I don't get that. I really don't. Mississippi State went 2-10 last season. They closed down practices last year leading up to the season, which, okay, new coach. You kind of want to be deceptive a little bit with what you got offensively. You're installing. You're maybe trying to figure out your team a little bit. I get it. You follow that up with 2-10. And then the spring, it's the same thing. It's fairly closed. Fans got to come to the spring game, but, I mean, what do you really see there? The fan base is getting nothing. They're getting nothing in return. They've had a product in football that's been bad for the last 2 years. I think it's going to be better this year, but they don't know that. That they really don't. Like they know what we tell them, and they know what they've seen in the transfer portal class. They haven't seen any of these players on the field. They haven't seen Will Whitson. They haven't really seen Brennan Thompson or Anthony Evans or Aiden Williams outside the spring game. They haven't seen Blake Steen. They don't know anything about these players.
Mm-hmm.
In interviews, we haven't talked to a single transfer outside of Brennan Thompson.
Right.
Nobody knows anything about the new faces. So you have a lot of interesting people that you've added to this roster you're significantly more talented. You're significantly deeper. I think that this team is going to be better than, a lot better than last year. And in a time where you're trying to sell tickets to these fans, on top of asking them to pay millions of dollars for these athletes, they don't see anything until August 30th. What are they buying? Why are they supposed to spend money on this? They get to see it, you know, at most probably 8 times this year, depending on if people go on the road,
mm-hmm.
8 or 9 times. Like, they'll see this product, but there's nothing outside of these 30-second highlight videos that people get that can get them excited. And I've actually seen people trying to force themselves into excitement off of these videos, off of these small practice reports that we're able to give on Maroon and White Daily.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you what we can, but we're seeing stretching and drills. We don't get to see 11 on 11. We don't get to see Blake Shapen tossing it down the field to Anthony Evans. We don't get to see Fluff Bothwell. And if your response to that is, well, we don't want the SEC to know what we have. Florida had an open practice. LSU had an open practice. Ole Miss, I think, gets an hour a day, at least for the media. So that, and I think their Lane Kiffin's usually pretty tight. That's an hour. Who else did we have? Oklahoma, Auburn, Alabama. These are people that are competing for the playoffs. Mississippi State is competing for 5 or 6 wins this year. These teams are competing for the playoffs, and they're not afraid to show what they have. So I just don't understand that side of things. I watched Dan Mullen in year one come in and say, I have to have the fan base on board before my team is off the ground. You guys have got to support our team before they can get going. And in that first game, they had 60,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And they had open practices. They had fan day. They had the media getting to watch practice.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with sitting at the house. I'll just be honest with you. I will sit here and enjoy my Saturdays and enjoy my days. I have other things that I can do. It's not about me. It's not about what I get to see. I'm speaking for the people that are spending millions of dollars and thousands on a weekend to try to get a football team together for Mississippi State, and they have no clue what's on it. You know, there's a select few people that get to watch practice, but there's not many that get to see what's going on. I'm just asking for a little bit of leeway here from Jeff Lebby to be able to give something to this fan base to be excited about, because football's got to get right at Mississippi State. And you've got to have an investment all in from this fan base to do it. It's going to be tougher and tougher to do that when you're pulling away from the average fan. And quite frankly, Mississippi State right now is kind of telling them they're not that important. Give us your money, but you don't get anything in return. That's not how this is going to work. You got to give something back to them. You got to be able to tell them thank you. And if that's keeping us out, and so be it. But these fans need something. And I think that you can generate a little bit of excitement by allowing them to see what's going on. What's my money doing? Are we going to be better this year? Right now, it's just all hope. And quite frankly, a lot of pessimism from people because they've seen back-to-back losing seasons. You've given them nothing to be excited about at this point. So there's got to be some give and take here.
Well said. And I agree with everything you said. All right. Well, we'll see if that you know, we've been able to change some things before. We'll see if that starts anything going in the right direction. Tomorrow's show, the Mississippi State Media Poll. We've done this as year 9, I believe. Maybe year 10. I have to go back and look. But we've got everybody's turning in their answers, so we will let you know that what me and Robbie and everybody who covers your team this year thinks that your team is going to be. So we'll have that on tomorrow's show.
Talk we also got the men's basketball schedule just came out.
Oh, is it out?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
There are several games on here that are two dates. Like,
that means they're Oklahoma. Like, they're flex days.
Flex dates?
Yeah, they could be Saturday. They could be Sunday. Or Monday.
It'd probably be Tuesday or Wednesday.
I want to see this LSU. Oh, gosh, dog. Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I think it's new. I think you're right.
So that would be probably the Tuesday, Wednesday.
It is. Like, I was just looking at. So, yeah, those are Tuesday, Wednesday potential games.
I know Alabama will be on probably a Wednesday night at 8 p.m.
Yes, as always. As always.
Hey, heck of a home slate. Bama, Ole Miss.
Oklahoma.
Vandy. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, Auburn, Missouri, Georgia.
Pretty good.
It's a heck of a home slate.
Yeah.
A manageable road slate. Kentucky and Alabama are the best teams you're going to play. In Florida.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, we get to spend Valentine's Day in Oxford, Robbie.
It's a St. Valentine's Day massacre is what it is.
Let's hope. All right. We'll talk about that a little bit more detail tomorrow along with the media poll. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.